The title of this morning's address is The Changing Face of Religions. And it's inspired by, I think COVID has changed how we attend church. And I noticed that in Finglas, a huge big church that was built in the 60s or 70s, one of these enormous churches meant to seat 3,000 people, has been demolished. And I think that's a sort of a sign of where religions are at the moment. But religion is an integral part of the human story and has been throughout history and in all parts of the world. Religion was part of the fabric of the social order that glued society together. And generally, any religious dissent, particularly in the 1600s, was really frowned upon. You'd be in serious trouble if you expressed a different religious view. There is something in the human soul that is drawn to things of the spirit. Religions try to fill this need for connection to the spiritual. The nature of what we call spirit and this draw changes as human knowledge and understanding changes. I think that's something that we have to remember. Religions change. And this evolution in human understanding explains why religions come into being, thrive, and eventually become irrelevant and are replaced by different religions. Bill Darlison's theory was that this happened every 2,100, it was a very odd number, 54, I think, years, as constellations changed, religions changed. I think we forget that in prehistory, sacrifices were made to gods. And the reasons people sacrificed to the gods was that the god would provide security, food, and shelter for them. It was only about 3,000 years ago that the Persian priest Zoroaster first began to teach that God was concerned with the ethical behavior of humans, not just about whether or not they offered a sacrifice. I think we always think that God was always interested in our behavior. Humans didn't believe that until about 3,000 years ago. Until Zoroaster's time, provided the appropriate sacrifice was offered, it was thought that the gods would be satisfied. So this is a good example of major change in how humans, in the practice of religion among humans. Western religions have their roots in the Jewish faith. And Judaism is a religion of practice. Judaism proclaims the unity of God. They say there is one God, but Jews never ever defined God. They just stated there is one God. And Jewish people will discuss their concept of God. They're very fond of doing this, but they never impose their ideas as dogma. Jews believe that they have the responsibility to care for other people. Again, that wouldn't have been something that happened maybe 4,000 years ago, that religion told you to care for other people. Now, people always cared for the people they loved, but it wasn't a religious duty until then. Jewish religion is fulfilled by observing fast days and celebrating religious festivals. But Judaism does not concern itself with beliefs about the nature of God. But the Christian faith that originated in Judaism is unique to the extent that it requires members to subscribe to articles of belief. Christians are actually meant to believe what they say in their creed on Sundays. Hierarchical churches actually believed they held the keys to the kingdom of heaven. You know, we say whatever and you go to heaven. Don't do what we say, you're out. But other religions don't have that dogma. Buddhism doesn't, Hinduism doesn't, Islam doesn't. The Christian articles of faith that Christians are expected to believe were settled in the early 4th century. In post-Enlightenment world, it is grounded in science, and it's calling into question these actual truths of these articles of faith. How many Christians really believe in the virgin birth or the physical resurrection of Jesus? I wonder how many priests and Christian ministers honestly believe what they preach. It appears that the faith that at one time was so important to Christians is beginning to wither and become irrelevant. In all Christian denominations, members are abandoning the practice of faith. Attendance at church on Sunday is competing with sports activities and shopping. Someone once remarked in this church that at one time, peoples built cathedrals. Now we build shopping centres. And some elements of these changes are to be welcomed. You know, people are more empowered to use reason and find their personal faith. Not something that's imposed on them, but something to which they can honestly commit. But what is happening that in general, people who are leaving their churches are not on their personal faith journey. They've just given up on religion. They haven't taken up spirituality. In parallel with the decline in religious practice, there is a deep sense of discontent in society. And this discontent is there. It's there in times of economic growth. It's there in times of economic depression. It is an unease among people. There's a longing in people for belonging, for community, and for having meaning in their life. During his lifetime, Jesus pointed out at one time that the Sabbath is made for human beings. Now, he was answering a charge of doing good on the Sabbath, but I think it's also to take it a different way, that the Sabbath is made for human beings. In other words, human beings need to take time from the routine of work to wander, to consider and ponder the meaning of existence. As a child, religion was imposed on me. As an adult, I made the decision to leave that particular religion of my childhood, and in time, I found a spiritual home. But the knowledge, my decision was based on knowledge. I knew the tenets of the Catholic faith. I knew what I was rejecting. But within that faith, I did learn that the soul needs care. We're not happy with just good things and a happy lifestyle. We need to care for the soul. Younger people today have little religious knowledge beyond God loves you and Jesus saved you. It really is remarkable how little they know. The mantra of society is get a good education, a good job, and you will be happy. And work can be rewarding. Relationships are rewarding. But particularly when we have material comforts, we sense that there is something else missing. We begin to sense the soul call out its neglect. Instead of making time to care for the spirit, people shop, we play sports, and find other distractions, some of them addictions that are harmful. And there's nothing wrong with shopping or sports. However, we do need the reflection. Socrates' dictum that the unexamined life is not worth living is still true. An examined life enriches us in joyful experiences. An examined life can be a raft when we navigate the choppy waters. Life is light and dark, birth and death, bitter and sweet. These are the contradictions we live with. These are the contradictions which make life rich, challenging, sad, and terrifying. And the reality that we will all die is something that modern society today totally attempts to deny. Life is bittersweet. But from every media source, we're given the message that if you're not happy, there's something wrong with you. It's meant to be one happy experience after another. In her book, Bittersweet, Susan Cain writes that if we allow ourselves to experience the bittersweetness of life, that's not wallowing in sadness. It's not an opportunity to wallow in self-pity. It's how to live fully. The older Eastern philosophies stress the point. This advice that if we sit with sadness, if we're sad and we feel sad, and we just sit with that feeling, not judging it, not telling it to go away, not encouraging it. Just sit with it and experience it. We will notice the emotion change because emotions always change. We don't need to do anything. We just observe and we will notice it change. It changes by itself. When we sit with our pain, we open ourselves to the breadth and depths of life. And we are encouraged to transform sadness into something creative and beautiful. The word religion has its roots in something that unites us. Religion is what unites us. Religion is about community. People coming together to explore the meaning of existence, to share a journey of discovery. And a community is always richer when it pools its resources. We as a community can share the wisdom life has taught us. I think the richness of this community is that we are open to sharing our wisdom. It's wonderful that a member of our congregation shares a reading on Sunday, and that at least once a month someone takes a service. Because in this community, we know that no one has a monopoly on wisdom. We all have a contribution to make. Community is also the chat before the service, and particularly the tea and the coffee after the service. And that's been missing for more than 2 years. The good news is we will have the Damer Hall back the beginning of July, and we will be back to more community. The days of huge church buildings that are full to capacity, I think, are past. But humans haven't changed. People still need community. We need to nourish the soul. And we still feel that longing to explore the spirit. These needs are not fulfilled by imposing creeds and dogma. The work of transforming the soul doesn't happen between 11 and 12 o'clock on a Sunday. It can't be delegated to someone else for you to do. It's something each of us has to do on our own. And it's work, persistent work. It's challenging, it's painstaking, but rewarding. The poet Mary Oliver asked, "What is it that you plan to do with your one wild, precious life?" What a terrible waste it would be if we come to the end of life and realize that we had wasted our years. In Buddhism, they say that to be a human being is a way that we can achieve nirvana, is what they say. With that, we can come to completely understand the nature of life. But a human birth, they say, is so rare that if you were to, every 1,000 years, someone was to throw a ring, you know, a life buoy into the ocean, and a seal was to pop up and get that life buoy on its neck, that's how rare a gift a precious life is. Imagine wasting it and having to wait another 1,000 years. COVID has changed us. The web camera has changed how we come to church. It's been invaluable when we couldn't come into the building. It's also opened up our community beyond just Dublin. People do join us from other places. But I wonder, will the web camera develop community? Time will tell. Unitarians are often accused of not having beliefs, and that is not true. I know that every person in this community has lots of beliefs, all dearly held. What we don't do is impose beliefs. We value people, not what they believe. We understand that people are different, and we can celebrate differences. We understand the limits of our wisdom and knowledge, and we try to keep open to discovering wisdom from whatever quarter God sends it to us. Amen.